Like to do Zeichen Nishmas, my grandmother, whose yahrzeit is tonight. You saw me saying Kaddish Tein Yeshivas because I got mixed up. I thought it was today, but it was really tonight. And I just want to say a few words about my grandmother. Her name is Sarah Bas Rav Shimon Baruch. My great grandfather was a Rav who I never met. And I'll just tell a couple of stories about my grandmother, and then the topic of the Vat tonight, I'll go right into that, and just take a couple other more stories about the topic of the Vat. This is just like random ideas. My brother's here tonight to participate. If you have anything he wants to add, either when I finish or before I start or in the middle, please just chime in. Okay, so the first thing is my grandparents came to America before World War I. So just perspective, World War I seems before World War I, so.
A century ago.
And they settled in this town, which is about 35 miles outside Pittsburgh. No one ever heard of it, so I don't even bother saying it anymore. But the name is Tarentum, Pennsylvania. It's not Toronto, it's not Trenton, and it's not Scranton. It's Tarentum. And they raised five children there. I believe there must have been 100 in its heyday. There must have been 100, 150 Shomer Shabbos families there. There was a Rav. The Rav that was the Rav in that shul was eventually became the Rav of Shomer Amun in Borough Park. That was like his first shtetl there. So it was a real town with a real shul. And I'm pretty sure, Achra Ian, I did ask around, that from those 150 families, the only ones that have Jewish children, forget about Frum children, Jewish children, Jewish descendants are my grandparents. And the main reason why that was true is because my grandparents sent their, they had a girl, three boys and a girl. They sent their three boys away. This is Western Pennsylvania, not Philly. This is like the part of Pennsylvania that no one ever heard of, out in the sticks where the cattle are. And they sent their three boys away at 8 years old, 10 years old, and 12. My father was the 10-year-old in the story. And they sent them away to yeshiva in New York. Basically, my father said he was there from 10 till 21. And my uncle, the 8-year-old, he went, but he was too homesick, so he went back. And then like next year, he went tried again. My uncle, who was 12, stayed there also. He was based by Rav Moshe. I think he went, he got there, the year, Rav Moshe came in 1937. I think my father got there in 1938. So I'm pretty sure my father was born in like 1927. So it's pretty, just fascinating years to even hear about. And Rav Moshe took them in. He didn't even hire them. He just put them right into Shirim. And my grandfather asked, "Do you want to fahare them?" He says, "Well, I'll fahare them later. They want to go learn." My grandparents had the most reliable home, so all the mishalachim stayed there. So they became friends with all the mishalachim. And my grandmother's father was a rav in Duquesne. I always think Duquesne was in Europe, but it wasn't. It was one of those towns in Pennsylvania. And if you want to know, if anyone ever heard of McKeesport, McKeesport was considered the youth city. I just met someone from McKeesport, and I said, McKeesport, that was my father told me that was the youth city. And my great-grandfather, I was told by a second cousin that every Purim he would collect money for poor people, and they never had a Purim Seudah together with him there because he was always collecting money. After he was Nifter, everyone was wondering why they got no Mutzdak anymore. But I used to visit my grandparents. My brother and I used to go For a couple of summers, we spent 6 weeks there, my brother and I, and I remember seeing certain things. I don't know if it's inspiring, but it's pretty wild that I saw this, that they was still a throwback. They didn't have all the latest amenities. When I was there, like 70s, early 70s, the washing machine was a big round tub above ground, and it was two rollers in there. So you put the water in, then you just rolled it out. That was the washing machine. They had no washing machine. Everything was hung dry, but the washing was a wringer. I can't believe, like, I'm old enough to have seen such a thing. They had life with no amenities, no air conditioning. They had a fan. My grandfather wasn't into new gadgets. No vacuum cleaner, no mixer, everything. You know, there was no good filter fish that you bought frozen. Like right now, you buy a filter fish, you just buy a frozen roll somewhere, and you have to learn, even now they have to learn, what do you do with it? Like, you know, you have to put it in a pot and cook it up. Yeah. Wow, you are really, and you know how to pour salt in the pot. That's like you were considered a big chef if you could do that. My grandmother, she was a wise lady. She didn't, you know, my grandfather was Polish and she was Hungarian. That in itself, for people who know the difference between a Polish and Hungarian, know that it's like an odd couple already. And my grandfather, the Polish people rule with an iron fist, and the Hungarians, you know, so my grandmother used to have this saying that she said when my grandfather wasn't listening, like, the reason why all the things always geared towards the men is because the men had the pen. That was one of her famous sayings. The men had the pen, they wrote all the rules. The Gemara, she said, the men had the pen. And my brother and I, we used to be, very often we would squabble and be fighting, and she would get upset. She says, you stop fighting. And one of us would say, we're not fighting. And she would say, well, you're not kissing. That was her. That was her level of discipline. And she was, you know, just to see the level of Edelkeit that she had, she once said she was so angry at that person, she could have pinched them. That was the extent of how angry she would get. And I remember once there was a family bris, and I was at the bris, and I may have been married already, and when I eventually went over to say hello to my grandmother, you just see the way she was able to give discipline. She said, oh, you're the only grandchild I didn't say hello to yet. Like, she said it like, oh, she was so thankful she got to say me, but at the same time, she was able to give me a little mussar that, you know, when you come into a place, you don't, like, get to your grandmother last. You go right away to the, you know, to your grandmother, and you say hello first. Now, that's how she would, the extent of how she would, you know, discipline. It was a very, very good lesson to learn. Like, people go to simchas, and let's say you walk into a, let's say, Shalom Zachar. So you come to the front door, and all the good Gishmaka people are by the door usually, you know, schmoozing it up with everyone that comes in, and you schmooze for 10 minutes there, and then you walk closer, and then people on the outside, you schmooze there, and eventually, when you're ready to go, you say, oh, you know, I have to go. You say, oh, I never said hello to the father of the Shalom Zachar. And just that's the way it is. She taught me that the first thing you do when you go somewhere, the reason why you're going, first thing you do, you go to a chasana, first thing you do is go say, Mazel Tov to the chasan. You know, because you can get distracted otherwise. And you could leave with even not saying, there are many people, I remember the yeshiva has a dinner, and there are honorees at the dinner, so better make sure you go say a lot of the honorees, because you can end up leaving and never see the honorees. Those types of things. Okay, so I want to open up. You want to say anything, Fran?
No.
Okay, fine. So I want to open up the topic tonight. Someone called me today with a chinuch shaila. He's a parent of a bunch of kids. And the shaila that he asked me was he needs to get a new car. His car broke down, whatever, he has to get a new car. He has to get a car. He needs to have to get a new one, he has to get a car. And this is the third car he's gonna be getting. The first two cars he got were like 3 or 4 years old. And his kids are older now. The used cars right now are at a premium. Because new cars are so expensive, people are holding on to their old cars, and they're very expensive. So it's cheaper for him to get a new car than to get the used car. Because the quality of what he's getting in the long run, it's a better buy to get a new car than to get a 3-year used car, this minivan that he wants to get. But he has one boy who's pretty older.
Older.
I'm not sure. It sounds like 8th, 9th grade type. And he's afraid that if he gets the new car, which is what he really would do, that his son is going to become too influenced for Gashmius. So should he bedafka get the used car instead of getting the new car? That's the question. So I thought I would open up this via, see what you guys have to say. And at the end, I'll tell you what I told him. And I'm hoping, there's still time to call him. Because he called me today a couple, he called me like 4 times, like he answered. And I thought it would be a good topic to discuss. Gashmius, but just a couple of thoughts that I had is, my grandmother on my mind, my grandparents, my grandfather did not lose money in the 1929 stock market crash, which was famous, which caused the Great Depression, which you probably did hear about, which probably learned about in history, okay? I don't remember it either, but I heard about it. But the Great Depression. He did not lose money. I don't know why he didn't. Do you know why he didn't lose money in the Great Depression?
Yeah, he didn't have money.
Mattress? No, he had money. Do you know, Frank, why?
Good question. I don't think they invested at that stage.
They didn't invest money, so they had the money. So they didn't invest in the stocks. Okay. So he had all his money. And I was told, my father told me this, my father's father told me this, that the town that they were in, Tarentum, Pennsylvania, everybody was broke. No one had a penny. And they could have bought literally the entire town. They could have bought 500 homes. They would have given it to them for free, just take over the taxes on the houses. So if you could have afforded the taxes on a house, how much tax on a house? You pay the taxes on the house, take over the obligatory taxes, and they would have deeded over hundreds and hundreds of properties to my grandparents, to my grandfather. And my grandfather, I heard this from my father, but I heard it from my grandfather also. You heard this, all this. He did not accept, he didn't take not one property, and even his own house that he was living in, he did not take ownership. And he told me the reason why he didn't take ownership is because what would happen in Achameva Esrim, said his children will move back to Tarentum, Pennsylvania. And he knew. That's not where he wanted them to be. It's in the sticks, the middle of nowhere. There's no real developed Yiddishkeit there. And he was afraid if they're going to own property there, he didn't want to keep there. So eventually, they were probably in their 70s already. They got evicted from their home because the owner of that house eventually sold the house to Exxon, and they knocked down the house to put in a gas station there. And they had to leave in their old age to go live in Pittsburgh. And like was a real, and they didn't get anything. And I went about 7-8 years ago, one of our base manager guys got married, Yeshua Gratko, and he got married during the summer. I think it was in Cleveland, and I went with my wife, and I saw Pennsylvania, like from Cleveland back to New York. You detour, you can go to Trenton, Pennsylvania. It's like, wow, my gosh, I haven't been there since I was like 7 years old. So I detoured to Trenton, Pennsylvania, expecting to see like things I remember from my childhood. I couldn't believe what I drove into. And like you see, my grandfather must have been a Navi, that the town turned into a tattoo, leather jacket, heavy chain, LBGTQFYZ city. That's all there was there. But people in leather jackets and tattoos and motorcycles, and that's what the town became. And I wanted to walk around, but I was afraid. And that was the town. So, you know, you see when you have, you know, like, you know, having Gashmias is not always so good. But anyway, but okay, so now what did we say? Anyone want to have any comment on the purchase of the car?
Well, it's not a normal kid, right? What he said?
He's a normal kid.
Totally normal kid.
Totally normal kid.
Average.
He likes Gashmias.
More than other kids?
More. He's very influenced. And he wants like the, you know,
so how did
all the latest everything and fashion.
Anyways, he wants.
And, you know, into cars. He wants. And he's just afraid that if he brings that into his home, he's sort of.
Encouraging
it. He's showing that something important.
What car?
It'd be an Odyssey. Honda Odyssey. Oh, yes. Good question.
I think Honda Odyssey.
The kid that's super into Gashmias, I don't think he's going to be affected by a new Odyssey.
No, if he's in ninth grade, he's smart enough to understand how much.
He's also smart enough to understand that his parents are doing.
One second, are you guys disagreeing?
Yeah.
So I want to say over for the record. So Ezra says that if it would be a
Tesla
or something, then maybe. But if you're just getting a loser Honda Odyssey,
it's not okay.
Yeah, Ruby, it's a minivan. It's a minivan, anyways. No one's.
It doesn't matter.
I love the Honda
Odyssey.
Honda
Odyssey's
well,
a beast.
He's very impressionable.
I want to get my when I get a car.
But you're saying Odyssey is not going to do it for him. Let's say I want to hear what Moshe says.
Oh, the kid sounds interesting.
And Moshe is saying what? Right,
right, but he probably knows that his parents.
Right, so he probably also realizes that this is cheaper.
It's not cheap.
Right.
And therefore, if you can get a 3-4-year-old one for $10,000 less.
I'm not saying either way that I
would say a different
shot.
Why are we hawking?
We have to go to the room one at a time. Hold on. Avraham Moshe, then Akiva, and then Mordechai. Yeah.
I'd say a totally different story. I would say just come. I would just say that the father is of a long run, not the one his son to have.
That's what I want to hear. Yeah.
The father of the long run wouldn't want his son to have the highest Ashmias. So it's like, even if it's like a little hypocritical that you can't have the highest Ashmias, but I'm going to have the nicest. I don't care if they have an Odyssey or Tesla, but I'm going to have the newest model.
So therefore, you say
you shouldn't get
the
used
one.
Right.
I agree with
you. You say get the used one.
I agree with him.
Yeah, the older car would be more
expensive. The older car is more expensive, so he knows his parents.
He said he can get the used one for $8,500 less. The used one. The 3-year one, 41, is $8,500 less, but the problem is there's nothing in between. He would get something really in between, but the $8,500 less has already 60,000 miles on it. In New York, that's considered.
In the long term, the new car is cheaper.
In the long term, he thinks the new car is cheaper.
Yeah, and in the long term, he's going to think
that it's less cost. Then it's less cost.
Okay, one second, one second.
Son's not going to realize that.
You're standing by your statement still. Yes.
I think we're wasting time, Hawk.
Wasting time.
At the end of the day, he feels that A will encourage his son, B will discourage his son. I think we're wasting time.
He doesn't know. He's asking. So what are you telling him? He knows the details. He called Rabbi Powell. He wants to know. He's not sure.
So you're saying get the new one or the used one?
He's not sure if he should spend the money.
Do they?
You're saying you should get the new one or the used one?
He feels he's obviously not going to lose. If he feels he's going to invest the extra money, well, I guess the less money.
He has the money. He has the money.
He's willing to take the hit, the financial hit, in getting
So you're saying spend the extra money to teach your kid a good lesson.
If he's willing to do, why not?
Okay.
I was wondering if that's the right thing to do.
Huh? You passing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Is your kid old enough, mature enough that you can have a conversation with him? And maybe before you get the car, explain to him the situation.
If he's good, you could say, if he's good, then tell him, I guess, be able to accept it and understand the reason behind it. So it's fine. So even if he'll get excited about it, at least he knows the reason you got it was not because it's still a reason why we'll dash this. It could be a water bill's gashmi. It's not an issue though, because it's something we need to do. No, we won't, because it's a need domestic, but they explained it by the need of the car. Why do they need a couch?
So I want to say what you said. Tell me if I get it right. So BZ says like this: if you could have a conversation and tell him that it's not because it's really cheaper, then you should get the new car. Otherwise, if he's not holding by having a conversation, then you have to get the.
Is it like the base model version of the Honda Odyssey versus the fancy one? Because if it's like the fancy one and it's like extra that you may don't need, then I wouldn't say get pay extra money for the nicer car. I'm saying if it's like the regular car that everyone's going to get.
Okay, so you're saying if it's the loser model, then it's okay.
If it's the model that you probably want, it's okay.
The Honda Odyssey will have a model that will have leather seats, and you walk in there and it looks like, and people see it, it's a cushion, but the kid will feel like that's an important thing.
But then if you get the not leather seat model, you're going to make the kid want more gashmir. I'm not saying gashmir, he's going to be so... It's not how it works. If it's a base model car, the kid understands that. I'm like, bro, my parents are... The kid understands that the lowest model car... Yeah, but once you get a leather one, you need to... You're raising the issue of the kid, you make the distinction of the models. Yaakov.
I think that...
Abram, you're next.
The fact this father is asking the question to Rebbe sounds like he's not going to have any problems. I don't know, like, he probably has imparts good messages.
He calls me from time to time with Kiddush questions.
So, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be so worried about it.
You wouldn't be so worried, and therefore you would tell him to
get the car.
Get the new mile.
I have Tesla, yes.
Why not?
Okay, Avram Berry.
What's more economy? Something that's really junky but costs a lot of money?
Berry's buys.
Something that's really junky but costs a lot of money, or something that's really cheap but looks really nice? What's more gashmi?
Wait, how do you define it? What's the kid's thought process?
So it sounds like you're agreeing with Ezra.
Maybe.
Right? That's what you're saying. That what's the point in getting something which is junk in the long run for you spending more money on junk? Huh?
How does gashmis work? How it looks 15
years old. I'm asking you. Wait, you said, tell me. If in a kid's mind, gashmis is X, then you're teaching, he's getting impressionable by X. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Which way should you do? If not for the kids involved, he himself holds that it's better to get the new car because it's a better value for your dollar. It's a wiser investment. So it's like, maybe Avram's saying like this: what should I do? I'm thirsty. Should I get a 64-ounce bottle for 99 cents?
Yes.
Okay. But the kid's gonna think that, oh, if you're thirsty, you have to be a fresser and get some fewer ounces. Or I should get a 12-ounce bottle, but a 12-ounce bottle is $1.99, twice the price.
That's more gosh.
So maybe you should get the 12-ounce bottle, so your kid shouldn't think that you're a fresser, and therefore, but you're spending twice as much money. That's what Akiva is saying is...
Not his value-wise. It's not going to be more. It could be 50
cents. He should just, like... He should go and, like, proclaim how much a great of a deal it is and how he's saving so much money. And the kids will realize it's not a gas
bill. What if
it
happens?
Okay. You should buy the...
I don't know
what you're saying, but Zundel's next.
I think that you should focus on the value that he's getting out of the car itself. Over a longer period of time, he's going to get more value out of the new car.
So, wow, look, he's buying a minivan.
I'm assuming he doesn't have just the ninth grader.
You'll think your dad's a cheapskate.
Okay.
So he's getting more value for a long time. Get the value. Kanan, you want to say what you were saying?
He sees that his father's saying, oh my gosh, we got.
At first, I was jokingly saying that he should just buy the new car for soda all over the seats.
Right. At first you were saying that. Now you're saying what?
Well, now the kids are a lunatic.
Now we take a brush a couple times and rip up the floorboards.
My perspective is
that
he's not going to be able to
afford
the perspective of normal is a used car.
Floorboard?
And new is abnormal.
Yes.
So that's why he feels like it's going to be that extra level. I guess in my mind, I don't know. I just don't.
You're not sure.
I wasn't thinking that way. My parents usually lease, so it's just like getting used cars on my radar.
That's why you're so magushim.
It's the only reason.
I just wouldn't think that getting a new car. It's not like he's getting like a.
Wait, but
what do you say?
It's totally case by case.
No.
I'll tell you what I said afterwards.
I would say you have a chance to have a roshim on your son. Areas of gashmias, the most important lesson to teach him. If it was reverse and the used car was $8,500 more, it would be worth it.
Cool.
If the used car was $800 more,
it'd still be worth it.
It would still be worth it.
Used car does cost more.
That shows he values
the cost.
I mean, I've been saying that this family is used to getting used cars.
And the only reason this guy has a hobby is isn't even the fact he wants a new car, it's just value wise. I mean, he doesn't even want a new car himself.
Okay, so what?
And so to this kid would be even more of a chiddish to get this new car.
It's not a family
that's used to getting these new cars.
Well, yeah, we're not sure.
Right, meaning the kid's
what's he driving now?
See, more
meaning
the
kid.
Why my Toyota Sienna has a sunroof and leather seats?
Does she drive a diamond past it, and then if someone offered him a brand new mansion, he would not take it out. He said he feels bad for people that raise their children in such a natural order, if he's buying the cheapest option, then that shows less. I think there's a cheaper diamond. I don't know if the kid is. I'll tell you what I told him.
But I'm not trying. I'll tell him. Tell him some of the ideas that come. I told him that. The greater value on a Odyssey is not such a Grace of Glick car, is what I said. It's an Odyssey. It's a minivan. So like no kid like dreams of owning a minivan. So
I love the
minivan. I'm saying what I said. I think some of the guys here said wiser things. I had 60 seconds between when I got home and going back to Mishmar. So I said, I have to think about it, but offhand, I was like this. I don't think it's such a grace of glick to get an Odyssey, so I don't think you can impress him, but the grace of Gashmius, he knows you don't have a car. But what I would do is, similar to Beezy, but not the same thing, I said, I think what you should do is you should have a conversation with your wife. Make sure your son is overhears, but not that he thinks at all that you're speaking to him. And tell your wife, it's so ridiculous that he couldn't even get a used car because people are charging crazy amounts of money if you use my 2000 Camry, my 2000 Camry with 108,000 miles, but has a shtickle and a shummel left, but no goof. The seats are coming apart. All the electric, you know, thank God the electric seats and burned out in my position, not Shmuel's position. I couldn't drive it anymore. So the AC only works on high seat. You have to decide whether you want to talk on the phone, you want to listen to, or you want to be, or you want to not suffocate. Those are the only two choices. So, you know, that's just the, you know, that you end up sometimes with, you know, certain situations, you know, and that I think they, you know, if you lament to your wife, like, oh, you see, and that my Camry is, they said was, I could sell for $3,000. If I wanted to give it away, I could sell it for $2,000. This Camry, and originally, before COVID, the reason why I didn't fix the door handle that Usher couldn't get, who was in the captain seat in the front and shotgun, I teach him how to open the handle because I didn't fix the handle, because fixing the handle was already going to exceed the value of the car. That's why I didn't fix the handle. So, but now it shot up. It's worth $3,000, this car.
Is it up for selling?
If you want to buy the $3,000, it's yours. It's yours. Maybe I should sell it to this mechanic. But anyway, that's what I told you. Okay. So let's maybe it's a good idea to go through and discuss.
Is that like OCD to ask that?
The impact of Gashmius on our children. It is a very important topic.
I don't disagree with you in general. I'm just saying the fact that this father was calling you, your logic makes sense. It's just the fact that this father was calling you, doesn't it say that he himself feels that whatever his situation is an issue? In his personal, like, I don't care if he wants to buy your Toyota Camry. If he feels that your Toyota Camry is Gashmius to his son,
he thought, sure,
for whatever reason, if he feels that he's even having, would it, like, doesn't that say his situation is different?
Yeah, well, he has a large family, so he needs a minivan. So what's he supposed to do? The minivan is...
Right, I'm not about that. I'm saying that you're using the logic in general, why are you getting excited about a new Honda? But if he feels that for whatever reason his kid will, or even might, or as a hobby he might, that sure he's different from the general population in that sense.
Yeah, I know. To me, I could be wrong, but the difference between the 2019 Honda and a 2022 Honda, and to get
like
one
the,
and to get one, it just
is that one like
a 2019 Honda is also pretty chashuv. A 2019 Honda Odyssey is like, you know, it's already, you know, it's not, you're not getting a 10-year-old car, you're getting a 3-year-old car.
Hey, like, what is this 2019 one? Is it like it's like been like through like
a hurricane or something?
No, it's also pretty hush of looking. They don't, 3-year-old car is a little good, but
what's
unfortunately nowadays they're ripping you off. You know, they basically used to be able to get a used car for much, much less. Now you can't. And the miles are very, very high. So you're getting like a 3-year-old car with 60,000 miles on it. That's already, it's very steep. So you're not getting value for it. So sometimes you have to suffer with, to be, like I always say, you have to moshe nefesh, take the new car. And Ray Norman says he wouldn't take the new mansion. Okay, I may make a zeichel korban here and there. I know. But let's talk. I think it's a good
thing.
It's a good thing to talk about. You know, unfortunately nowadays the gashmius that we are exposed to and comfort become comfortable with is so much greater. It hit my grandmother, had a washing machine that, you know, it basically put in the bottom was this big tub, and then on top were two rollers. You put one through the other, and that was the dryer. You know, you squeezed the water out, then you hung it up to dry. That was the whole washing machine. So that's like, you think about all the, you know, amenities that we have. We're exposed to so much more clothing, and you know, like even it changes halacha even on showers. I never ever 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 heard of anyone taking a shower on Second Day Yontif. I never heard of such a thing. Never, ever heard of it. No one. I don't know anyone. Growing up, until I came to Miami, and my first 10 years in Miami, I knew a couple of people who had taken it. But now, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise hands, but now the amount of the generation is like, it's like two generations later now, when I guess we have 30, almost 30 years. So like, you know, 15 years of generation. It's like, I don't want to say out of control, like it's something that has to be controlled, but even the guy that what we're used to is so much different. I don't want to embarrass myself. I'm pretty sure that people did not take a shower every day. I don't think I grew up taking a shower every day. I didn't. I think I mean, twice a week. Everything was so different. And my father and my two uncles owned one car, and it was a business car. My father, because we had a driveway, we didn't own the house. We rented, we were tenants, but they had a driveway, so my father took the car, and he would pick his brothers up when he went in the morning at 5:30 in the morning to his business. There was one car for three families. So it's like, well, there was no area from Borough Park, so you didn't go anywhere on Shabbos. When you had little kids, you didn't go anywhere. We just stayed home and, I don't know, killed each other. I don't know what we did. But so many things are so different. So, you know, one really does have to think, why would a kid grow up and not be, have a netiya for gashmias? There is so much gashmias around. What should a family do to minimize the gashmias? And believe it or not, we're building this base medrash now. If you look at some of the pictures, it was scaled down because of this svara. You know, from the originals. You mentioned what the originals looked like. It was definitely scaled down for this because there were ha'aras that were made that was, I don't know, I don't, not the very one. Good. I'm not very good at rendering, so they all look the same to me, bad. So I always the ones that they have up now, I said, like, they're putting up like these brown paneling that was around in the 60s, and some of these, to me, is the ugliest thing, but they say it's going to be like the most gorgeous base medrash. Yeah, it's like, what do you do? How should one, what should a person do in Chinuch Habanim to teach a child proper values regarding gashmias? Yeah, Moshe. You want to say?
No, it's not like actual
questions. Okay, but you could comment. You could comment.
What?
You want to comment on something?
No, I was just wondering if the picture of now is the scaled down version.
Probably. It's probably the scaled down
version.
You
see the real
golden? It's probably
the scaled. It's probably the scaled down version, yeah.
Can we ask that question was... Was that over the top, that question? Like, it's too, like, a little OCD, maybe?
Which question?
The one that Mechanic asked you. A little obsessive, like, he's just, like, every little thing.
I don't think he was asking...
Can you get a car for his family?
I don't think he was asking a Hashkafa question. I think he was asking specifically for this one. He has six kids.
Right.
I think he was asking me about this one.
So what, since he was a special case, and he has a Hashkafa. Usually you don't have to think about that stuff like that.
I assume so. Kids are not so bent on it, you know, so it could be. I think he's worried about this one son. I mean, there is such a concept that we're not supposed to live with mosros, which are extras. We're not supposed to live, even if we can afford it, we're not supposed to live with luxury, but ish kafi madrigaso. You know, there are certain things that we can afford it, so to live, you know, more, you know, simply. What does that mean, simply? Like, the Chavetz Chaim's house had no furniture, right? So I remember what Rashiva was talking about, mosros, and I was there. I was asked the Rashiva, should a person own a couch? We need a couch for it. Just put three chairs over there, and, you know, it'll be like the airport. You know, like, Rashiva had a couch. He had a couch. He had a couch, but there are people who remodel their homes every few years. So what is the right thing? Is it wrong to remodel your home? How does a person make those decisions on which things they should do, which things they shouldn't do? It has to be considered because, you know, the parent you know, grew up poor and knows the value of money, and now he has some money and he feels, okay, he's gonna spend some money, but he himself is able to hold back because he remembers his childhood when he didn't have any money, when he had the washing machine, that there were ringers, okay? But his children are gonna grow up not appreciating that difference because they grew up, everything was easy and coming to them. So if a person wants to, you know, lead a certain type of life, it doesn't shtim. A friend of mine, who I met, who was a classmate of mine, he told me that, you know, in reflecting on his life, he said that he's sorry he didn't spend more years in yeshiva, and because he sees, like, you know, in comparing, you know, our lives, you know, we grew up as kids, he says he sees that he's, you know, he's living on a certain standard. He has to always keep that standard. He has to constantly earn money to be able to support that standard. So I said, okay, you don't have to. Why don't you just, you know, you could just change it. He goes, now you can't because, you know, the person who he married, you know, he's not questioning that, but the person who married has certain expectations, and his children already have certain expectations. He can't pull the rug out from under them. You know, amazing. Sometimes the person has to readjust if his finances change, but he says he can't. So, you know, I remember before I started going out, the Rashiva, I said, like, it's a kasha. If you want to learn in kolel, if you marry someone who they have a lot of money, and they'll support you in kolel, so is that the idea or not? So he said, no, it's a bad idea. You don't marry someone who's going to support, a family's going to support you, because he says what's going to happen is that they'll support you on your call, but then it's like a big hook, and you're hooked.
So Dafka shouldn't marry family?
He said that, yeah, you have to be careful, because you marry someone who's, you know, Dafka rich, that's going to support you, it could end up biting you, because then, you know, the girl's supporting you, her family's supporting you, but then after X amount of years, and then they want you to support her, and then you're like hooked in. You have to, like, then start earning, like, you owe them. So you have to be careful. So I know in yeshiva, it's for sure in Chofetz Chaim, I was told, and I'm not in the shidduch scene over there so much, but I was told that the rebbeim encouraged the guys to marry girls who the money that they're gonna be able to have to live is not coming from the parents, that the girls have jobs, and a male, the husband and wife, are figuring out themselves. They don't need their parents' money. Okay, the parents give a little money, but it's not like they're giving you $100,000 a year to live. It's like, that's already, give a little money. That's what I heard. You have to, you know, don't quote me. But it makes a difference, because, you know, if you marry, you have to be careful. You marry girls from a very wealthy family. Oh, you say, wow, it's Kavalik, I won't have any money problems. Yeah, you won't have any money, because you're going to take all the, okay, how much money are you giving me? And you're going to amortize it over the next 20 years. You're going to split it up, because you've been learning yeshiva for 7-8 years, and you haven't, you know, you learned, you know, Shabbat Tachan with Abin Naiman, and you have all the shmuzim, and you have proper values. But the girl, you know, you don't know what she's thinking. So, you know, how what is she going to want? So that you have to be on the same page. And, okay, girl also has entitled to, she needs years to learn, and maybe she will, but maybe she won't. So she'll have expectations that you can't deliver on. You want to go, you know, whatever you want to do, and she has gashmius expectations that you can't deliver. So it really can make a very big difference how you raise your kids, you know. It can make a very big difference. So the basic, one of the important things that we tell guys when they're going out is that one of the midas that are kedai to check out is the girl mistapik b'muat, is the girl satisfied with little. Now, ish kefi madrigaso doesn't mean that she, you know, she doesn't even buy anything, and she doesn't, you know, dress properly or whatever. But it's just it's a midah. You know, amongst the guys, there's some people always like buying every gadget and everything, and certain people are just they're not needy. So it's important if you have a family where the you know, if you're looking for a girl, that's an important meet there. She's not always looking for to buy and get the finest model, you know. One funny joke that there was the yeshiva used to have before Shavuos, a cake sale, right before cheesecake sale, before Shavuos. And all the Rebbetzins would make cakes and the whole community would come and buy them. And all the Rebbetzins were busy baking for like 3 weeks before Shavuos. You know, getting ready for Shavuos was a hard job. It was torture. I remember Rebbetzin Grimblad and I was in Chait. I wasn't one of the yeshivas, and it was there. I remember Mrs. Mandel, my wife, and everyone was baking cakes. And they used to get a fancy home in Miami Beach, and a home where everybody would want to see. If someone put in a new kitchen, they would have it in that house, so everybody's going to want to come. So all these cakes like oozing out, all these women watching these fancy decorated cakes. And two men were in shul, and one guy says, you know, thanks a lot, you cost me $10,000. So the guy says, I cost you $10,000? What did I do? He says, you had the cake sale in your house, and my wife went. So he says, I don't believe it. The yeshiva had an appeal at the cake sale? No, they had an appeal, but my wife was there, and she loved your kitchen. So now she wants to put in her kitchen for $10,000. So, yeah, even that, you know, when women saw someone else's kitchen, they want to get the same kitchen. By the way, nowadays you can't do a kitchen for $10,000. So I don't think so anyway. Maybe just the refrigerator, freezer, or something like that. Yeah. You know, but so one has to be. You have to use chachma. This is not. I'm not even talking about habatzas Torah. I'm not even talking about Torah. This is just have a normal life. It's an important midah for everyone. Even if you want to go into, you know,
business.
Yeah, business. You want it's an important midah. Just to be besimcha. You want to be able to, you know, not be a slave to money. Could it's never ending. It can be a source of tremendous amount of, you know, stress in a marriage when, you know, you're comfortable with less and she's not comfortable with less. Like, whoa, where does it end? So that's why the gashmias is very important. How do we? What other ideas could anyone think of to implement in a lives that could teach proper gashmias? Anyone want to say any other ideas that they've seen or heard, whether it's good or bad?
I was reading a book recently. It's a Holocaust book, a diary, autobiography. Really, so this woman was recounting her life before the Holocaust and afterward, and throughout the Holocaust. She came from a wealthy family, and eventually she was in part of Poland, got taken from Russia, and basically her father got, you know, disappeared. But I was saying they got taken away by the Russians, and she got sent to Siberia, whatever, she was going through her life. But she mentioned that something of value her father used to, was also very learned, was also into Torah. He would have discussions with Yidolei Rosh Yeshiva. He was a big supporter of them, and he always, like, one story that she remembered very much was one time he was looking out his window and he sighed, and this Rosh Yeshiva asked him, why are you sighing? And he said, everything I have here is, what is it? It's not really mine. The only thing I have in mind is this book, and it was the diary of all his donations. And Lamaisa, you know, she was saying at the end of the day that really was the only thing that he had, because he lost everything. And the only thing he was able to take with him is one Shemayim. So the idea of taking out of here is really belittling the gashmias. Even so, really, this is a story for someone who is very wealthy. To minimize the effect of the gashmias is really belittling. I have it for whatever reason, but the ikar is all the mitzvahs, the tzedakah I give. I mean, focusing on the ruchnias and just belittling the gashmias. I have it maybe because I need it for whatever reason.
But not that. You know, what Chanan is saying is an olive base, but believe me, it's not so simple. Not so simple to live your life that way. My son-in-law's grandfather has this, or Linda's grandfather. He's very profound, and he says he lives his life. When he walks around, he hears things. he walks in the street, he has this perception that everyone's trying to take my money. So you go into a store, and anytime you see a sign, they're trying to get my money. And he says when he goes to synagogue, says they're trying to take my money. Everyone's trying to get your money. And you know that's why it's funny. Like,
it's true.
You if you think about it, what a mall is, there are very few people go to a mall because they need something. They just go to a mall because, let's go shopping. We need something to do. Let's go shopping. So they spend, you know, anywhere between $100 and $200, and they go shopping for things they don't need because that the activity was the shopping. It was not. There are some people, I guess, go for things, but I know. To me, it looks like malls are there for people to buy things they don't need, and that's it's not just America, it's the whole world is that way. Just like shopping is a thing, you know, they're selling, you know, art in Paris and different things in Spain and Italy, and you're just buying things, and you know, and just one of my chaverim told me his father, you know, escaped World War II, and when he was going from one town to another country, then eventually went to Israel and came to America, he wrote every single step of the way so it should be a legacy to his children, how he was able to escape, and he got through, and he has like, I don't know, 100 pages of all these details of where he went to this store, where he slept this day, and who spoke to him that day. And he told me, like, my children have no interest in reading it. And my father, he told me, he spent so much time writing that. Like he was saying, like, that Shlomo Melech says, in Sof Dover HaKol Hevel, everything is Hevel. Like here, he spent so much time writing these things, and like, it's like he, it was sad to him, like he has it, even he has not high interest in every detail of it. And so like, wow, so what, his father was a chush of a person, like, you know, he was a Torah like a person, but like, in the end, you know, like there isn't much value in it. So we have to like use our time for good things, use our money for good things, you know. It's a pretty, you know, just to, there's a certain netiyah from all the shmuzim. There's a netiyah to have gashmias. We have to realize that we have a netiyah for gashmias. So we see something nice, we want it. It can't help it. Yeah, Brahman
Simbu. I saw a story. I forgot exactly who it was. I think the Shaf and the Bach, like his father in law was maybe Taz. Who was the Shaf?
Yeah,
Taz's mom.
So there's a mice that basically that he took his father in law to the Torah.
Yeah.
Because his father in law, they agreed on whether he got married as a dowry to give him blood meat, and instead they squished the meat and then his father in law became poorer, so they give him less meat to come to the Torah just to. That way, in Shemayim, there's no tefillah on his father-in-law because now he's going to learn. He knows he's going to learn less, and now there's not going to be and he doesn't want a tefillah on his father-in-law. So that how do we relate this to us? Because the Messiah said that was dashmius, and then we see like the shaft knew that dashmius stuff to learn. So how will we say our needs that?
You know, certain types of things that are no shaykhs. I don't think we have any shaykhs to that story. You know. Nobody's getting married with the lung meat or whatever. You know, like the yeshivas, you know, you think about, you know, when I was branching in Miami, so there was no kitchen, there was no Mr. Stall. I was here with six guys. So they would order on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays salami and coleslaw. And on Mondays and Wednesdays, bologna and gozo. Every single day, that was supper. It was a main and a side. That's what Rabbi Grunblatt used to say.
This was okay.
Monday, I'm sorry, it was Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday, Wednesday. And then the yeshiva got this, like, I can't call it a crate. It was a, but what do you call those big, what do they call them? It was a huge pallet. It was a pallet of Duncan Hines tried making chocolate chip mint with vanilla something, and it wasn't
going.
So they just give it away. So the yeshiva had a fine, and they bought the entire pallet for six guys. So we had cases and cases and cases and cases, and anytime we're hungry, the yeshiva just told us, like, we have all the cookies you want. Just eat all the cookies you want. So we basically had, you know, these, we had to eat the cookies before the bologna, because they were milchiks, and they were in the bologna. And for lunch, we got $2.25. He gave us to buy two slices of pizza and a soda or a fries. We upped it up. We two slices of pizza, and you don't want to just get a cup of water and drink water. So, and in order to get the money for that, Rabbi Glant would go into the Pushka every day, go to the Pushka and try and get the change. He would give us the change in our hands to go into the pizza shop. It was next door to the yeshiva on 41st Street. It was the worst pizza ever made, ever. I was sure, like, there was no one ever in the store. I was sure it was like a front to like sell drugs. I think we were the only ones who ever bought any pizza there. That's how bad it was. And like, so like, yeah, like, that was the yeshiva. They had no money, and we had to live. We had to live like that. So, you know, but now, those days are over, way, way over. We would never expect guys to live like that. What, my farsals, when I was in yeshiva, they did not serve supper. They did not serve supper in yeshiva.
You didn't eat?
I didn't say I didn't eat, but guys starved because we were like lazy and you'd go to the store. Or you could order, and they would send, you could order, you know, through I think Muslim would order, but not everyone ordered. It took years and years later, they finally took upon themselves to cook supper. They didn't cook supper for the guys. Tuition did not include food.
And the mila
lunch.
So that you're not dependent.
I didn't say there was a mila. So we didn't think it was a mila at the time, but many years later, I see it was a mila, because when you have to live without certain things, the guys couldn't handle it.
No one will come.
The guys couldn't handle it anymore.
You're saying of all yeshivas, we
better. You know, it says in the Gemara that have the mechabed banim shel aniyim ki mehem teitzei sorah. The Gemara says you should be mechabed the children of the aniyim, the poor people, because from them teitzei sorah. Torah will come from the children of the aniyim. But the main reason is because if we become too influenced by Gashmius, so we don't work as hard and we become complacent. So one of the nisyonos of this dar is that a person gets too used to it, so he doesn't work hard and for the things he needs. So it's a big nisyon in this dar that we have to work hard despite the fact that we have certain comforts. It's true, we have air conditioning. And
I'm trying to
say
the opposite. I'm trying to destroy.
I did not grow up with an air conditioner.
Yeah, I'm trying to destroy this message of Ryan that it proves that you need some guys.
Yeah.
But it was the balances.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I committed that we can't go over time. I'll take the questions. I promise. Yeah, that's true.
Where does staying away from Gashmias fall into Precious? Where's that balance?
You know, we don't concentrate so much on precious, but because that's already a dangerous midah. I'm not qualified to, but to
that's
not precious. That's not precious. I'm not saying to stay away.
Precious,
you have to have a car. Who's not gonna have a car? I'm not gonna. You know, I don't think so. I think it's a person should be aware that he's not going to overdo it. He's not going to get the best of everything, and he's not going to. You know, it doesn't mean quality. I think there's a. I think that's a. You know, to say it straight out with that Shaila, it's okay to get the highest quality item. I don't think that's gashmius. But they have to tell the kid that getting something which is high quality doesn't mean Gashmias. And that's why I think you should have the topic not, that's why I slightly disagree with Beezy. Don't have the topic with the kid because he's going to think that you really want the Gashmias, you just don't want him to think it's Gashmias. So if you don't, if you have the conversation that he happens to hear it, maybe that will be better. But I happen to agree with you.
That's dishonest. That a little dishonest to like frame a conversation?
I don't think so. You're letting him overhear a conversation.
You're telling what you really feel.
It's for Dr. Sean.
But it's what you really feel also.
No,
it is good.
You want him to hear the conversation. It's perfect.
But he's going
to
think that...
Rebbe would agree that for myself.
I'm standing up not to be rude, just to end it. Yeah.
I remember doing that, the way his grandparents, you know, lived. Like they were happy with the way they were. So that's great. But in the door, especially because we are influenced by the Gashmias, we need to give certain Gashmias to our children because they wouldn't be able to take it.
Correct.
And sometimes it's
but you have, like to, you have to, but it requires nowadays it requires chachma. Because if you like Ezra said.